From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Prayer of Power and the Power of Prayer, part of a series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
Our text for today is found in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 24. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. That strength which God gives to his Josephs is real strength. It is not a boasted valor, a fiction, a thing of which men talk, but which ends in smoke. It is true, divine strength. Why does Joseph stand against temptation? Because God gives him aid. There is naught we can do without the power of God. All true strength comes from the mighty God of Jacob. Notice in what a blessedly familiar way God gives this strength to Joseph. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Thus God is represented as putting his hands upon Joseph's hands, placing his arms on Joseph's arms. Like as a father teaches his children, so the Lord teaches them that fear him. He puts his arms upon them. Marvelous condescension! God Almighty, eternal, omnipotent, stoops from his throne and lays his hand upon the child's hand, stretching his arm upon the arm of Joseph, that he may be made strong. This strength was also covenant strength, for it is ascribed to the mighty God of Jacob. Now, wherever you read of the God of Jacob in the Bible, you should remember the covenant with Jacob. Christians love to think of God's covenant. All the power, all the grace, all the blessings, all the mercies, all the comforts, all the things we have flow to us from the wellhead through the covenant. If there were no covenant, then we should fail indeed. For all grace proceeds from it as light and heat from the sun. No angels ascend or descend, save upon that ladder which Jacob saw, at the top of which stood a covenant God. Christian, it may be that the archers have sorely grieved you and shot at you and wounded you, but still your bow abides in strength. Be sure, then, to ascribe all the glory to Jacob's God.
Word has life's secret, its wisdom imparts to all who will seek it, rejoicing their hearts. The matter's conclusion, the duty of man, fear God and his statutes, obey his demands. The fear of the Lord, the fear. The beginning of wisdom, the fountain that flows, its blessing and honor and comfort bestows. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, it's clean and enduring, its promise ensuring, God's confidence during. Thank you.
wisdom and listen to gold. Apply understanding and watch it unfold. Oh, cry after knowledge, oh, lift up your voice. Seek wisdom as silver so you may rejoice. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom, the fountain that flows, fit blessing and honor and comfort bestows. Ensuring God's confidence during my days, the fear of the Lord, 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 the fear of the Lord.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verse 5 of chapter 12. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made of the church without ceasing unto God for him. Here we find one of the great turning points in Christian experience, but prayer. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the tremendous power available to God's people through prayer. Among the many vital lessons from the passage, we learn that powerful prayer is fervent in its intensity. It is marked by diligence, directness, and reverence. It is also definite in what it seeks from God. Now to continue this message, the prayer of power and the power of prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
Notice the fervency of prayer. The words of the text literally are, fervent prayer was made. The word is translated here without ceasing. And I think that there's a good reason for putting that into the English text, as I'll show you in a moment. But actually the adjective is properly fervent prayer, not in itself ceaseless prayer. Now the word fervent again is a word picture. It comes from the verb. In fact, it's just a part of the same word, to stretch out or to stretch forth. For instance, in Matthew 12:49, when the Lord Jesus stretched forth his hands, pointing out his disciples, pointing in a given direction, it's basically the same word. In Luke 22:53, when they would stretch forth their hands to lay hold violently upon the Lord, it's the same word. And so the thought here is of stretching forth. Obviously then, when we talk of it in this sense of fervent prayer, a stretching forth in prayer, it is declaring the thought of intensity. They were intense in prayer. They were stretched to the limit in prayer. You know, true prayer is never an easy business. True prayer is not sidling into the presence of God with your hands in your pockets and talking to God as if we were the man next door. Oh, I know that God is our Father. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our elder brother and our friend. But we must never forget the weight of responsibility that is upon the people of God when they pray. They are coming into the presence of the awful and the terrible God. They are coming into the presence of the only true potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And humanly speaking, as far as second causes go, they have in their hands that which determines the destiny of precious souls and the outworking of the purpose of God in the affairs of earth. Now that is a weighty responsibility, and you don't sidle into the presence of God when you're in that sort of business. This is an agonizing, burdened stretching of yourself. It is a breaking of the flesh. It is hurtful to the flesh. When the body is on the stretch, it hurts the body. When the soul is on the stretch, I tell you, it is hurtful to the flesh. But my, it is necessary to spiritual accomplishment and spiritual achievement. And if we would pray the prayer of power, then first of all, we have got to pray. That's obvious. Secondly, we have got to pray fervently. We have got to pray on the stretch for God. Then you will notice the thought of the features of the prayer of power. It's said here in our text to be without ceasing. Now, I've said that the word translated without ceasing is more properly translated fervent. But the without ceasing is nonetheless there, because the form in which the original is written means literally that fervent or earnest prayer was continually arising to God. The thought then is of ceaseless prayer. This then is the first feature of the prayer of power. It is diligent. How many times we have started to pray and then we give up? How many times we go to a room and 5 minutes later we have quit the battle? How often as a church we have said we're going to pray the matter through and yet our hearts begin to grow cold? Where are the people? And it used to be that you would never miss a prayer meeting, but now we can hardly get you to a prayer meeting. where the people, and they used to spend an hour or 2 hours a day upon their face before God, and now 15 minutes is a big time if God can screw 15 minutes out of them. Ah, my friend, the prayer of power is first of all diligent prayer. And then you will notice it is determined prayer. It is prayer by the church. Now, I use the word determined because while the thought here is one of unity, the whole church praying, I think that that unity betokens a level of intense determination which we find it hard to conceive of. Here you didn't merely have the minister and the elders praying. Here you didn't merely have a few women coming to pray, as is usually the case in most churches. Here you didn't have just a nucleus while the rest of the congregation scattered their efforts in 1,001 other things. Here you have one of those almost unique occasions when the whole church prayed. Now I say that's almost unique, even in the New Testament. You take your Bible and you will be amazed at just how infrequently you can point to occasions when the whole church prayed. And I'm going to make this statement this morning. In the entire history of this congregation, there has never, never been one time when on one issue and for a protracted period, the whole church prayed. And then we wonder why we're not in blessing. We wonder why the early church saw such things and we don't see them. My friends, you'll get sometimes a few to pray, sometimes more to pray, sometimes even you may get the majority to pray, although that is very, very, very infrequent in the experience of the church. But tell me, where have you ever been where week by week or for a protracted period the whole church prayed? Where have you ever been in a church where every member felt the burden equally? I have never been in such a church. I have never seen it on one occasion in all my life in ministry. I have seen occasions when the burden swept across great numbers in the congregation. I have seen people do heroically in the place of prayer. I have seen young people grow into spiritual giants in the place of prayer. I have seen in a 24-hour prayer meeting, I have seen young immature Christians overnight spring into people who could prevail with God. But even in circumstances like that, when the Holy Ghost was moving, I still have never seen a congregation where every member felt the burden, and every member carried the burden, and every member prayed. My friend, that's determination. Oh God, give this congregation diligence and determination in prayer. You'll notice it was direct prayer. It was unto God. This was a coming to the throne. Now, I don't want to repeat what I was on about on Wednesday night, but I was there emphasizing we're coming into the Lord's presence. It is appearing before God. And I was saying on Wednesday night, and the more I think of it, the truer it is, that when you appear before God, it's a terrible thing, as well as a blessed thing. What happens at the judgment seat of Christ? We appear before God. That's what happens. And therefore, in a measure and in a sense, true prayer is something of an experience of the judgment seat of Christ before its time. When you get a Christian who really appears before God, I tell you, that Christian will have his sin dealt with. There will be the judgment of God upon his sin. There will be the cutting away of the old proud heart. I tell you, there will be a work of holiness done in that believer when he really appears before God. Of course, it's also a foretaste of heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is appearing before God. What is heaven and earth but for a believer to be in the Lord's presence? Oh, my friend, this kind of praying is direct. It's not beating about the bush. It's not using a lot of empty words. It's not merely putting on the frills of fancy sentence construction. I have heard people and they could pray all the fancy words you would care to have. That's not necessary to prayer. Oh, if the Lord gives the instruction to pray that way. The Lord bless them. I'm not against proper sentence construction in prayer. But what I am saying is, two words that go direct to the throne of God are far more potent than a million words that are so full of human fancy and the beauty of human language. Oh, let's be direct in our approach to the Lord. Lay hold of the horns of the altar. Then you'll notice it was definite prayer. It was for Him. You know, you would think that we would learn. But how often God's people, when there is a pressing issue in prayer, they'll come and they'll pray around the world. They'll just hit here and there. Spurgeon used to tell his students, if you aim at nothing, you'll be perfectly successful, for you'll hit nothing. How often that's true in prayer? For instance, let me give you an example. Christians come together to pray, say, immediately before a gospel service. Now, what's that prayer meeting all about? That prayer meeting is for the mighty movement of God in that meeting. That prayer meeting is for the sinners who'll be there for that hour under the sound of the Word of God. That prayer meeting is specifically to do business, definite business, on the issue that is at hand. And yet, I have been in prayer meetings before services where people have prayed for 20 minutes and have rambled from China to India to Africa to Europe and they've prayed nothing and they've got nothing. Now, that's not to say Asia and Africa and India don't need prayer. They do. My friend, let's be definite. Let's be absolutely clear in what we're asking. And never forget this old rule. I've given it for so many times. When you've prayed, it's a good idea to ask yourself, what have I asked the Lord? Because look, if you don't know what you've asked the Lord, you're not going to get an answer. And even if you did get an answer, you wouldn't know you'd got an answer, would you? So many Christians, and they just bamboozle themselves with words. This was prayer that was definite. Put it all together. Diligent prayer, determined prayer, direct and definite prayer. Put it all together and you've got dynamic praying. This is the prayer of power. But prayer was made. Oh, I would pray God that this church will have that kind of praying. Of course, the result of that is very clear in the chapter because you've got the power of prayer. It's a very vivid example of the principle laid down in James 5 and 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or is powerful in its operation. There is power in prayer. Notice the essence of the power of prayer. This is something that doesn't go down well with modern theology, but I believe it. The Bible teaches it, and what's more, every praying man and woman proves it. The power of prayer essentially is the power to bring about a direct divine intervention in the affairs of men. That's the power of prayer. The power that will lay hold of the hand of God and bring the hand of God to intermeddle directly in the affairs of men. My friend, that's the kind of power that God knows we need today. Human power, useless for the prosecution of the work of God. It is not by might nor by power. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Vain is the arm of the flesh. My friend, there is no help in man. And therefore, if we are to do anything for God, if we are to see anything done for God, there must be a direct intervention of God in the affairs of men. Tell me, what is going, we hear so much, to use the American jargon. It's not a way that we would speak back home, but you'll understand it very well. We hear so much about turning America about. People turning about and all. Everywhere I go, I hear about this turning about. I see very little of it, but I hear a lot about it. Tell me, what's going to turn America about? What's going to do it? I'm not going to make comments on political programs. But I'll tell you, the best political program that any politician can devise is not going to turn America about. I tell you that the people who imagine that the only thing wrong with America is economic have got their problem the wrong way around. The economic problem is the result of a spiritual problem. And there are forces at work in this country, as there are in every other country in these days, forces of darkness, forces that will not stop short of a total annihilation of that which is spiritually beneficial. And until those things are beaten back, until there is a turning around in the spiritual sphere, I tell you, this country will never be turned around. Now, what can turn America around but the power of God? God intervening in the affairs of men. Oh, I would pray to God that we would have that kind of power in our praying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.